old man Fiend coming get around out, the corner there.
Get off my lawn.
I like how you sound like a Jimmy Pardo announcer guy. Get off my lawn.
Les Nessman.
Let's get off my lawn, you kids.
Bob Barker. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Bean. In this show, my man, James Tapley-Graylian, and I talk about who's stepping up big when Nathan MacKinnon goes out, Nazem Kadri's hottest streak as an Avalanche player, a healthy and absolutely spectacular Cale Makar, and injuries, and some more injuries, and some more injuries past that. Those topics and a whole bunch more Avs and hockey stuff coming at you in episode number 133 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around. The AHP is next. Hey, what's going on, Avalanche fans? Welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. He is James Tapley-Graylian, and I am Jay Veen, and this is your home for almost everything Avalanche. What's going on, James?
How you doing?
How's it going, partner?
Oh, man, like you read about, I have, I'm rocking the mustache. You know,
looking
so
sharp.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. You're rocking the clean shaven look. I feel like we're a terrible buddy cop movie. Let's do this.
You know it's going to be good.
Here's the problem. I got to be at work and I got to go to work today. So
it's all good.
I'm sorry I'm compressing our time, but we gotta do this. We're going to keep it moving.
Well, I couldn't think of any good number, jersey number 33, so we'll just keep moving.
Let's forget it.
There wasn't any good 33.
Well, there was this guy, Paul Gillis.
Oh, yeah. He was great. Let's talk about him for a long time.
Don't you dare take away my ability to, my time to trash names. Mario Gosselin?
Gasoline? Petroleum was his nickname. No.
Denis Subchuk?
No.
Oh, Dennis Subchuk?
No, don't know him.
Okay. No,
nope.
Me neither.
Nobody else?
Dale Hodgson?
No.
Patrick Roy?
Rings a bell.
How much anger did you just feel?
No, not at all.
The great Patrick Roy, who has come up recently in conversations about the about the general manager job in
that makes me laugh.
Montreal. Yeah, it makes me laugh too, because also there was just like right away, even journalists were like, oh no. Oh, no.
That's not a story, people. We can do a lot of things right now. We're not doing this. No.
I think it's funny because also there was the idea thrown around that these guys, like, well, there will be a good time for Patrick Watt. And it's like, when? like, what do you want? You want him to mature more?
That bridge has been burned to the ground. It's ash and it blew away. No.
You know what? The thing is, it might happen, but even if it does happen, then here's the thing. You're still going to have Patrick Waugh. It's not going to be like all of a sudden Patrick Waugh is going to be like, oh, I'm going to put on a tweed coat with elbow patches and I'm going to sip some Earl Grey tea and chill out and relax. No, you're still going to get the same guy. And also, of course, then there's the part where you post. I was looking at tweets recently that you posted. You had the photo of Patrick Waugh shoving the glass, which is what everybody expected. And then everybody was disappointed when they didn't get that following that. Like when he was like, all right, I guess I got to chill out a little
bit. Every game?
As soon as he chilled out, everybody was like, he's an animal. He's a monster. It's like a guy just relaxed. Why can't you guys relax? What's going on here?
What a great moment in Avalanche history. That's because Boudreaux made his way back to the Canucks. So it was just so interesting but that was great. I mean,
weird having Boudreaux back too.
So. How better could you start a career as an Avalanche coach? I mean, how more Patrick Waugh could that action get? I mean,
and then that Patrick Waugh went away.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't mean that he left, but like he chilled out for so much. You're just like, well, come on.
This isn't Patrick Roy. It's that meme where the guy with the stick, it's like, come on, do something. He's poking Patrick Roy. It didn't take much. But the departure from Montreal, and probably I would guess that the departure from Colorado was pretty interesting. And there was a lot of things that we won't hear about, but. Yeah, I don't think the Montreal things happen. It's fun to think about, and hey, you know, maybe it gets you clicks on some articles, but
Smart hockey guy. You need a smart hockey guy to be your GM. But
I love your point.
It's going to be him.
You're getting Patrick Waugh. I mean, he doesn't even need an interview. Like, you just come in and be like, you know who I am. I'm not hiding anything. Yeah.
Exactly.
You're getting this right here.
You're getting this right here. And you know, he didn't say this was the last game all GM for Montreal.
No, he did not.
When he left.
He did not. He didn't quite say that was not going to be a possibility. But
he also said that, like, the Canadians have basically been a problem since 1993, which, just happens to be the last time he won a cup with them. So it's like, okay.
He picked some random year. Yeah.
So, what could it be?
What's a nice round number? 93.
What's a nice place that I would, what's a place that I could, a year that maybe this could happen?
93. That seems so nice.
I could have said 92.
94, 95.
95.
People love
and
our
French. And then I wasn't paying attention anymore.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
People love our French right now. They're just loving it. Loving it. You're welcome, everyone.
I'm getting reported, canceled or something.
Absolutely. It doesn't take much.
Like, I'm not here for impressions. I'm here for hockey. And we need to talk some hockey.
There we go. And right after our last show, like, I don't know, right on cue, because something always happens right after we record.
It was like 10 minutes.
Seriously.
After we stopped recording. And
this
then,
happens
and,
a lot.
Yeah.
This happened.
Nathan McKinnon out with a lower body injury.
LBI, 3 weeks. What are the Avalanche going to do without their, you know, one of the best players in the NHL on their team? And they play good hockey and they consistently kind of do this.
They're going to win.
I'm trying to figure this out. Like, why you're missing one of the best players in the NHL on your team? How do you keep playing well? And Nathan McKinnon is a guy that has to have the puck, right? And it just is what it is. But when he's out, everybody steps up a little bit and they just found some chemistry, but it happens over and over. So it doesn't make me wonder that maybe they're better without Nathan McKinnon. Like, that's pretty silly. But man, everybody steps up. They know they need to play a little bit better in at least two phases of the game, if not all three. Mm-hmm. And they look good.
Well, let's also be honest here. If there's a swing that they could have had their best player out in, this was it.
Yeah.
They play Vancouver, who was not good. And, you know, now they fired they wound up firing their coach recently.
Yep.
San Jose kind of in free fall, not, you know, still trying to find their team identity, especially with everything that was going on with Kane.
Yep.
Then they go back to Vancouver, who in those intervening 6 days, didn't get any better.
No.
They played the Kraken, who should have had a chip on their shoulder because of Grubauer, you know, wanting to beat his old team. Fun. Not so much.
Yep, didn't even start.
Then the hapless Ottawa Senators right after that. Then the Ducks.
Yeah.
And they won all of those games against, you know, teams that are not doing great. Ducks are doing okay.
Yeah.
Doing all right. But the rest of them, if there's a time to have your best player out of the lineup, that was the time. Yeah.
Maybe.
And then,
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just thinking, and then, you know, they hit Dallas where they kind of hit a speed bump there.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, the Dallas game and that Toronto game, since they were so close together, they felt pretty devastating.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Everything is just so awkward. The schedule is awkward, too. And maybe that's another kind of good thing about Nathan McKinnon getting hurt when he did. Mm-hmm. The Avalanche only played, what was it? I have it down. Were they 7-2-1 in?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were 7-2-1 in November. They're averaging a game every 3 days. And part of that had to do with, I think originally they were supposed to go to Sweden.
Yeah.
And play Columbus or whatever it was. And that obviously got canceled. But part of that is just there's no flow to the schedule. And it makes every loss a little bit worse because you have to spend another 2 or 3 days talking about it. Mm-hmm. And now they're into this groove where they play either back to back or every other day until the All-Star break or Olympic break.
Yeah.
That's still interesting, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Everything's so weird in this world right now. And the Avalanche schedule is no different. But
can I throw out a hot take opinion here? I think the NHL and probably just sports teams in general, but the NHL especially, unless you shouldn't do back-to-backs on the road.
Isn't that weird?
It's just not worth it. Just do your back-to-backs at home.
Yeah.
And call it art. I get that, you know, buildings are busy. You know, especially if you have basketball and, you know, I get that. But just to save the wear and tear, if you really want your best player still playing well, just back-to-back at home. Don't do it on the road anymore. Just come on, NHL. I don't need to do this.
I think the number that I saw is that the Avalanche have like 11 back-to-back games this year. It's just, and they all can't be home and home. But yeah, they went from Toronto to Montreal, played back-to-back nights. Coming up, they have Buffalo and Boston, which isn't that bad, but still. Mm-hmm. Toronto, Montreal. Yeah,
yeah.
It's a couple hours of sleep and rest and work and whatever that they're not going to have, even when you have teams that are so close together like Buffalo and Boston. But yeah, I think there's 11. Anaheim and LA coming up a little later. Seattle at home, and then they go to Nashville and play the next night. I don't know. It just seems
that's pretty ridiculous.
Why do that?
Yeah.
No, I agree.
I get they're not the only tenant. I get that, you know.
And yeah, there's a lot things, going on. But I can't even imagine the logistics that go behind trying to make those schedules anyway.
No, I mean,
and then you throw another team in the mix like Seattle this year, and it's just like that much more complicated. But I don't know.
Absolutely. It's easier if you're the only tenant in that building as far as sports are concerned. Sure. But there's still going to be concerts. There's still going to be other things going on. So Monster Jam truck. Sunday.
$10 buys you the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge. more impressions. You're here for it all, folks. You know that.
I'm here to do it. Let's do this.
So McKinnon's out. Who steps up and plays his best hockey as an Avalanche player? And by far, this isn't even close.
I'm going to go with Nazem Kadri.
You win, sir.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
He's named the third star in the month of November for the Avalanche. He's a 10-game point streak, 4 goals and 17 assists in 10 games. His current stats, he's leading the Avs in points. Let's see. I just had this up here, and then I lost it. Here it is. But, I mean, So let's talk about this. The Avalanche are looking pretty good in the standings, but if you told us at the beginning of the year, 24 games in, that Nathan McKinnon had 3 goals, you'd be like, this team's in trouble, right? People think Nathan McKinnon is struggling. He has 19 points in 14 games played, so don't want to hear too much about that. Nazem Kadri has 34 points in 22 games played. Those are Nathan McKinnon numbers, but he just looks great. He's hurt now. Who isn't hurt? Are you okay, James? You're okay, right?
I don't know. I feel like I have a right pinky injury.
You did an
RPI. I'm not the most resilient of people. I could be week to week at this point.
Yeah,
but
I think aren't we all though?
Yeah.
But Kadri looks great.
You have a list down here.
I put a list. I'm not going to read that whole list, but that's just like
we don't have time to read that whole list. This is ridiculous.
It's a podcast in itself.
Yeah,
just when you think they're getting healthier, Kadri's been out the last couple games. I don't believe he didn't play last game. I don't believe he's playing tonight either. Landy left the game the other night. He's day to day as well. They haven't said much. I don't know if that's gamesmanship or they're waiting on some kind of a diagnosis on his lower body injury. But I don't know, man. All these injuries, and you just have to roll with it. But it's just annoying. There's somebody gets hurt every single game.
Oh, the other day, Kemper, he had a pad issue, and it was just like, oh my God, he was just hurt. He's had his skate blade injuries. Yep. I mean, as in his skates were injured.
And that was crazy too. Out. 2 straight games where the blades are popping. I don't know if people hadn't seen the newest technology in skate blades and stuff. Now you have because of Darcy Kemper.
Close up.
Yeah. Thing pops out and he just can't do anything about it. So you just kind of lay there, wait for the referee to
blow that whistle. Yeah,
that's right. So Kadri looks amazing. He's hopefully he's not out for too much longer. He was at practice yesterday watching, so that's good. He's not nothing huge, I guess. But Valeri Nichushkin is another guy who has just stepped up his game, and this Avalanche team, I can't remember, let's see how many games he's played in, because I want to say that they haven't lost any more than like 2 or 3 games with him in the lineup, and he's played in 15 games. Looking outstanding. Another guy is Logan O'Connor.
O'Connor, I kept hearing, oh, he's so great. I was like, okay, well, where's the numbers? He's throwing the body around. He's being a tough guy to play against. I'm enjoying that part. Where's the numbers? Well, now here's the numbers.
Yeah.
The numbers have shown up. 5 goals, 7 assists and 12, for 12 points. And most of those have been the back half of these 24 games.
Yep.
And so
he eventually ended up on the first line too, which first line LOC is what everybody's saying. But with all the injuries, he's fit right in and kind of there's guys that kind of get into that mode and get pushed into a role like that and go, eh. But, you know, him shorthanded as well. He's a problem for other teams using his speed and using his skills. And the Avs, I believe, are either tied or lead the league in shorthanded goals with either 5 or 6 right now. And those are always bonus points right there, literally.
And I know you don't have this guy on your list, but of course, Cale Makar right now, 12 goals and 13 assists. That's 25 points in 21 games.
That's a defenseman.
yeah.
we're not hockey experts. We're going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say that's good.
Like, I run out of fingers and toes to count his points on. That's pretty good. I'm okay with that.
He is so fun to watch. That coast-to-coast deal he did in Philly was just gorgeous. I need to watch the newest behind-the-scenes things the Avalanche put on. I forget. It's Avalanche 360 or whatever. But Nicholas Obey-Kubel was mic'd up, and I want to hear what they had to say on the bench when Cale Makar went coast to coast.
That was a fun. Ugh. I mean, just right through everybody.
Gorgeous.
Watch me skate. Gorgeous. Watch game of hockey happening. Yeah,
he kind of faked that the slingshot pass. It was either, you know, it's usually either Burakovsky and Landy, but normally it's McKinnon. So the defenders were expecting him to drop that puck, and he just like, no, I think I'm going to go this way with it.
Mm.
And I'm sure Bednar at first was like, wait, what are you doing? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's nice.
Okay.
I kind of like that.
You know, okay, the slingshot pass. Can I just have a moment for
the slingshot pass? I need a moment.
I get it. Yeah. But I feel like the slingshot pass is kind of, I feel like there's just too much time between the pass and the pickup now.
Okay.
I know that there has to be a little bit of time to back up the other players, but I feel like they're leaving it. It seems like 5 seconds or something. It seems like so much time that the other team's going to be like, you know what? We're going to step up.
Yeah.
Whereas like now, if the defending team maybe played 3 back instead of 4
mm-hmm.
and 1 a little closer to defenseman, you drop that pass for that long. I feel like it's going to get picked up and go the other way. I don't know that a team wants to take that kind of chance, but boy, it just seems like they are really playing with fire with how long it takes for the drop to happen and the attacking player to pick it back up, your McKinnon or whatnot, to skate in.
You want to
feels like too much separation to me right now.
Yeah, you want to talk straight numbers with, you have 2 minutes with one more guy on the ice, and it seems like you're wasting, you know, 4 or 5 seconds every time the other team clears the zone. Yeah.
I mean, you need to get in. I mean, it's a waste of time to dump it, chase it.
True.
Make sure you try it, you know, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, I just feel like it's an opportunity for the defending team to press that puck and get back on that puck and maybe slap it away from your defender coming on if you're taking that much time.
Or it's 3 or 4 seconds where they don't have to worry about doing anything. They're just still getting set up. Yeah. It's kind of a newer strategy. That's something we haven't seen until
last year.
Yeah.
Or something.
And I think as a whole, maybe 3-4 years as a whole in the NHL game.
But yeah.
It'll be interesting to watch it evolve. I know they track that stuff super, super well, but
yeah, there's just so much. I mean, like, you have so many opportunities for it. I feel like there's a lot of like the 3-on-3. At first, it was just like it was freewheeling. And then what, like 10, 12, you know, 5 weeks, 6 weeks into the 3-on-3, it started to turn into that possession game that we see a lot more of now and locked down. These guys are smart guys. They're gonna make adjustments. So
even take it out of the zone when you have control of the puck. That's something you never see a team do when it's 5-on-5 or whatever. But during overtime, if we have the puck, it's more important than actually keeping the zone. So if you need a little space,
you can actually gain the zone with that space. Yeah.
If you need a little space, you just clear the zone yourself, and that's kind of unheard of before a few years ago. But it's interesting to watch the game evolve. You know,
kind
of fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep watching now. Now I'm going to be like, hurry up, get the puck. Let's go.
Yeah, James said do. James said do this thing.
Nathan McKinnon's fast. Just give him the puck. Get out of the way.
Just go.
That was cool. I wonder if, like, you know, Bednar went up to Makar and just was like, yeah, do that a little more often. That was fun. That was really cool.
Just like coach drew it up.
Super, super. Yeah, exactly. So, November 13th, just quick roster move. Nicholas Obey-Kubel, like I said earlier, was picked up off of waivers from Philly. He's fit in really well. I think it was a couple games before he joined the lineup, and with all the injuries, he's looked good. He's third, fourth line guy, and you know, he's been a factor a few different times, and that's all you need. He's got 2 goals and 4 assists so far, so that's good. Seems to be fitting right in.
Got nothing to say about him.
We always like that. Yeah, that's always a good thing, right?
Always beware of a player with a hyphen. That's all I'm saying.
they're just trouble.
Ekman Larson.
Pierre Dubois.
Pierre Luc Dubois.
I think that's it.
Lukey
Dookie. What?
Lukey Dookie Suzuki? Suzuki? I don't know. Yeah.
I hear you. But, you know, maybe that hyphen's good news sometimes.
I think it is, yeah.
Just be aware, though. I mean, stay on your toes.
Yep. Never know.
All right, November 22nd, Gabriel Landeskog plays in his 700th game as a Colorado Avalanche Hockey Club member. That's a lot of games.
That seems crazy.
It's gone by fast.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, as I looked at this close, he's only the sixth player in Avalanche and Nordiques history to play in 700 games for the whole franchise in his career.
Yeah.
Sakic, Hajduk, Foote, Michel Goulet, and Peter Stastny, not Paul Stastny. I don't know how close he was to 700. But Goulet and Stastny are both Hockey Hall of Famers, both inducted in 1998. So congratulations to the captain, who brings a ton to this team. He's been picking up his toughness lately, too. If you would like to pick on Cale Makar, if you would like to, I don't really anybody. Sammy G got into it the other night, and there was the captain there to have his back. And like we said, Gabriel Landeskog does it all, including taking bad penalties, but including having the back of his teammates. So it's hard to be super critical. We all think he could be a little smarter every once in a while. But
something I noticed about him going in when things get tough and he needs to shove people around a little bit.
Yeah.
It seemed like before what you would see from him is he'd go in and he'd have, you know, angry, yelly face, right?
Yeah.
Now it seems like when he goes in, he's got this face that says, you knew this was going to happen.
I totally agree.
You knew I was going to come in here, right? This was the inevitable conclusion of your bad choices.
And I have a message for you.
And yeah, it's no longer, I'm going to, you know, how dare you, blah, blah, blah. He just goes in and goes,
it's like, you knew.
No, thank you, but no.
You knew.
So
I love it. I love it. And I think this is a really cool part of his game. And I'll continue to say it. He does it all. Mm-hmm. And sometimes everything isn't that great, and it's kind of tough for his team. But you really can't fault a guy for sticking up for his teammates.
Yeah.
And every team needs somebody like that. I think McDermott can do a little of that, but the other night you saw that. Like, he just got tossed out of the game. Like, they're looking for somebody like McDermott to do some stuff. Landeskog is one of your, I don't know, he's a pretty unique player. He plays a type of game, especially with this new facet to it, that not a lot of players in the NHL are willing to do, or, you know, I don't know. I just love it. And, you know, he's around for a while longer. So,
yeah.
Let's see what else. We're towards the end of November. Like I mentioned before, the Avalanche had the best, they only played 10 games in November, but they won three quarters of those games, and they averaged almost 5 goals per game during that streak. And it just continues to get better with all the goals.
This is, the big upside, I think it's hard to complain when you're scoring these many goals.
You look at
some of these games where it's like, you know, 7-3 against the Rangers, 7-3 against Detroit. Well, you know, but then you look at, you know, 7-5 against Philly.
Yeah. Mm.
5 against, that's concerning.
I knew you were going this way with it.
Yeah,
totally
5
agree.
Against with against Ottawa.
Yeah.
You know, Ottawa scored 5 on him. I think, did Chuck have a hat trick that night, or he just?
No, he scored the game winner. I think it was a hat trick. You're thinking of Austin Matthews, who just put on a freaking show.
Well, now that he's lost his mustache, he's gained his superpowers back. Mm-hmm. And
makes sense.
But 8 against. Ooh,
yeah,
man, that is, yeah. Because looking at, then let's go back to November 26th. We mentioned that Dallas game, 3-1. There are going to be nights when you run into the hot goalie, when you run into the good defense, where you're not going to be putting up 5 goals, 6 goals, 7 goals. You know, 4 goals stood against Montreal, and you should be, you should be in it to win it when you're getting 4 goals. But then you look. So if you look at it in that context of what happened against, they won against Philly, but that if they'd only scored 4 goals, they won against the Rangers. It would have been close if they'd only scored 4 goals. You know, how would things have changed?
Yeah.
And so I know it sounds a little like, oh, you're Yeah, like I'm not I'm crapping on good times in a way.
No, I know. I hear you. I hear you.
What it says is that, you know, the defense maybe, or even Kemper, are not
or whoever's in for Kemper. Cause that's the thing. Mm-hmm. When I need to remind myself when I'm watching Jonas Johansson is that he's the third string at least at times. What's good news is that Pavel Francouz has played in Colorado for the last, I think he's played for the Eagles for the last five games and looked really, really good. So he's about ready to come back and hopefully he can be healthy so we can get, I don't know. What comes first, like the turnovers or guys that are playing a little bit too hard because they know they can't afford a turnover because Kemper might let in that soft goal, which he's known to do so far. Yeah. Or you have Johansson who's, you know, he is who he is. So I've thought about that myself. And you know, we texted each other after that soft goal the other night that just kind of snuck through before the Avs kind of took over against Detroit. But yeah, I have to remind myself that goaltending has been kind of an issue so far. Mm-hmm. But when you're scoring at like literally historic and a historic pace, like it helps. But it's not always going to be like that. And they haven't had to grind out many games lately. They've either gotten, you know, well, maybe the Ottawa game that you were talking about with Tkachuk. But, you know, they're either getting smoked like they did in Toronto or they're just scoring so many goals like a bad goal or two isn't going to hurt them. So.
Yeah, and the other thing being that when it isn't a bad goal for the goalie, but like how many times did we see somebody hanging out in front of the net with a lot of time?
Yeah,
a lot of time.
Was that Matthews in Toronto?
There was Matthews, but there was a few others along the way where just
think Matthews. There was nobody in maybe 15 feet. I'm just like,
it's like they're wearing the other jerseys. They're wearing the other jerseys. Get the guy who's wearing the other jersey. Thank you.
One of the best players in the world standing by himself in front of that. Like, no one's going to stop that. But
I mean, that's the video they're watching after. They're just going, okay, see this? No more of that. Thank you.
Bad, especially with Matthews. But yeah,
and it was bad. It was really bad. Was
really, really, really bad. But I don't know.
So I'm a little concerned that
I hear you.
You know, okay, with Byram out, that, you know, throws things into chaos a little bit, but sure. I'm thinking of the one where both the Johnsons and Helm were out, and that's a veteran, you know, that's a veteran crew right there.
True.
There shouldn't be anybody, you shouldn't be chasing somebody who's standing in front of the net,
yeah,
who just suddenly got the puck. You know, you see all these guys go, uh-oh.
Whenever you're chasing somebody that's stationary, yeah, that's kind of a problem.
That's not what you want.
No, I hear you. And I guess it's a good problem to have, just like you said. You know, if you can give up a few goals and have a few defensive lapses and still win the majority of those games, yes, good. But you're going to have to start to grind eventually.
You're going to have to start there. The way I'm looking at this season right now is that the team has to gel by the playoffs. That's the whole goal. Where they finish,
maybe they'll be healthy. Maybe they'll be healthy by then. Who knows?
This is true also.
Crazier things have happened.
But we don't need the President's Trophy. Yep. Obviously, that didn't help last year. They don't need a lot other than to be a playoff ready team. A team that gives up this many goals and needs this many goals to stay ahead is not going to happen in the playoffs.
Yep.
It's just not. When you see the team tomorrow night or two nights from now or whatnot, it's just not going to play like that. So they have to be ready by then. Other than that, they're going to make the playoffs. It's pretty much almost no question about that. Arizona's handing out, you know, points like it's Halloween.
520 and something, yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
And they barely have a place to play anymore.
No kidding. Almost got kicked out of their arena for unpaid bill.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, good times. Good times for them. Okay. What else we got? Cale Makar named third star of the week twice since our last show. Made some Avalanche history in 18 games played. He scored his 10th goal. The previous mark for the Avalanche was Rob Blake in 2001, 2002, and Santa Sosa Lynch, 33 games apiece. So just historic stuff. You know, as long as Cale Makar is healthy, we get this stuff. He's tied for the lead in goals with Mikko Rantanen right now. And I don't know. It's Cale Makar doing Cale Makar things. We just love to see it. There was also an emergency backup goaltender alert in Toronto. Really good story by Peter Baugh in the Athletic. It was fun, but the guy's name was Jet Alexander. He was a Toronto student. I think it was chemistry or something during the day. And he gets a call, say, "Hey, you want to be the backup goaltender for the Avalanche tonight?" Like, yeah, I think I can fit that in. But that's always fun. Who doesn't like an emergency backup goaltender alert?
I'll tell you what I don't like about emergency backup goaltender alerts, that everybody shortens it to e-bug. I get it, people, but I am one of the olds. Can we stop compressing every single thing? You have enough time to say laugh out loud. Stop it.
Stop it.
I had to sit there and go, what does e-bug mean? Because I saw it somewhere else. And then I see goat and I'm like, why are people being turned into goats? Nothing makes sense to me. I'm a simple man with simple pleasures and a microphone. That's all I am. And I don't have time to be sitting here trying to figure out what you just shortened it to. If I spend more time trying to figure out what you shorten this to, it has bypassed its usefulness.
I didn't mean to trigger you.
That's okay. That's all right.
I'm fine. Good. Really. Everything's going to be okay. Eventually.
I'm just disappointed.
in who or what?
Just like my dad was in me growing up. I'm just disappointed.
That explains it. That explains so much. I made a list of injuries. I made a list of injuries. There's so many on here. It's good to have JT Confort back. Bo Byram's in and out. I don't know. Injuries have just been such a huge part of this team for the last couple seasons, and I'm sure it's exhausting for them, but they figure stuff out and there's not much you can do about it. So there it is. But
yeah,
I don't know. Devon Taves is a name I definitely want to bring up to you just before we go. He's just been outstanding. He missed the first 9 games of the season. His name keeps coming up in Team Canada stuff for the Olympics. He played Kale McCarr, the Avalanche played the Senators in Ottawa on December 4th. McCarr took the pregame skate and just couldn't go. Nobody knows what kind of happened to him. It's some kind of a body injury, right? Taves plays 31-17 that night. The most an Avalanche player has played since Scott Hannon in 2009 in San Jose against the Sharks. And if you would ask me, judging by the way Devon Taves plays the game, how many games has he played in the NHL? It would have been like, I don't know, 500, 600. He's played 184 games, or I think 185 games now, or something like that. Outstanding. What a pickup by Sakic, and what a signing by Sakic. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he's looked outstanding, and he's kind of that perfect partner for McCarr. They're both offensive-minded, but... I think Taves is more of this, he knows when to stay at home and McCarr just takes off, which is just fine with all of us.
I think the numbers kind of bear that out too. I mean, with McCarr with 12 goals and Taves with 4, but still with 16 assists. I mean, that's your guy staying back a little bit. He's still throwing it on net, especially in the power play.
Yeah.
It's interesting that second unit power play he and Girard
doing the mini out there. The mini slingshot within the zone is perfectly, like, we love that. It's just
two defensemen on a power play.
Yeah.
These days that's less usual than you would see, but when you have two guys when you have three guys who can who can quarterback a power play, that's what you get. You're lousy for options.
Yeah.
Send two defensemen out and don't get caught out when the power play ends.
The crazy number is, you have Bo Byram, who is out of the lineup right now, but you actually have, four guys that can not literally quarterback. I don't know if Girard's quite that guy, but I think he could if he absolutely had to.
He has been. In the past before Taze came along. Yeah.
You have two full lines of defensemen that can run a power play just fine with, plenty of firepower up front. So. These are good things. These are good problems to have, but we're hoping Bo Byram comes back soon.
Oh, yeah.
He looks good when he's in, even if he's missed for a little bit. But hopefully his head can do what needs to be done and stay healthy, So, I don't know, man. I think that's about it. Shout out to Peter McNabb, inducted into the United States Hockey Hall of Fame.
A
couple nights ago. He is who he is, and... you just don't hear anybody talk bad about him ever, because he's such a good dude and fighting cancer right now too and doing everything. So we wish him the best, obviously, but congratulations to him for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Big part of Avalanche history. He's been there since day one. So
always fun when you see the old videos of him with his hair, with that flow.
Oh, yeah.
It's awesome.
Yep. Looks good. So, all right. What else?
I need to do a mini spiel.
Mini spiel. Ready?
Because we got to get going.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this.
You can always find the Avs Hockey Podcast at avshockeypodcast.com with links to everything. Thank you.
Man, that's good.
I love it. Also, if you do the social medias, Jay's almost everywhere with
Avs Podcast.
Avs Podcast. You'll find us there. Yeah.
And do the Avs Twitter Psychic. Go play that during games. And we're recording this on Sunday. So there is a show tonight, or show tonight, game tonight. And we're going to obviously not be able to talk about that on this. So we're already probably a day late.
But something big will happen. We'll see what happens. Something big will happen and we'll talk about it, because that is exactly what we do. But James is going to go to work.
Yep.
We thought we'd put this together. James, appreciate you getting up early and in the middle of your work schedule. You're the man.
Word.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Thanks for being in.
Fist bump.
Fist bump.
All right, Bing. Man. All right, everybody, take care. For James Tape Leg Graylian, I'm Jay Veen. Take care. Go, Avs, go. And we'll talk to you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. See ya.
You knew what I was doing. You knew I was bopping along to the music that isn't actually playing right
now. If you know the show, that music is gonna be in your head. I think we just found our cold start or cold end. That's perfect. Or pure silliness.